professional wrestler and former Ring of Honor Pure Wrestling champion, Hurricane John Walters.
What's going on, guys? This is Supermex Hernandez, a.k.a. Hot Stuff Hernandez.
What's up, guys? You're listening to Joel Jose Maximo, the SAT.
This is Shaheem Ali, and you're now listening to the ROH Review. Ooh, baby!
Hello. Welcome to the ROH Review, episode 24. We are 6 months in, if you can believe that. I am three-time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman.
And I'm pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
Hey, and I'm also completely and utterly exhausted. But the show must go on, as they say. And yeah, so I'm going to have to rely a lot on Stephen tonight for many things. But until that happens, how are you doing today, Steve?
Yeah, pretty good. Still in lockdown, still socially distancing, still keeping safe. And just, you know, hope everyone who's, you know, listening to us or watching us keeping safe as well. And just thank you all the people who have been following us since the last episode and have been, you know, interacting with us. It's been great. And just looking forward to talking about the show tonight. So how about yourself, Oliver?
Absolutely. Yeah, like I said, just extremely tired, but the show must go on. You know, better as a duo than solo, even though I think we both did good jobs when we needed to. And yeah, just, you know, can't believe it's been 6 months. And, you know, can't wait to see what the listening and viewing figures are at some point this week, 6 months in. That should be really cool. And yeah, just very thankful of, you know, of you working with me and everyone just tuning in and viewing on YouTube and stuff. It's humbling that, you know, two people who just have a love for ROH making such waves. So it's really cool. Throw it to yourself for our opening match.
Yeah. So our opening match tonight, as mentioned on Periscope earlier on, the opener we have chosen, myself and Oliver, is the Women of Honor match, which took place in Florida. And it's between Amber O'Neill, who at the point was a member of the Bullet Club, and Kennedy Brink. This is Oliver said once on the show that he couldn't imagine me being negative about anything in Ring of Honor. And this, sadly, is the time has come. The negativity. And this is no disrespect to Kennedy or to Amber O'Neill. I feel that this match just didn't really click for me when I was watching it as a viewer. I don't think the crowd helped at all. I think the crowd were terrible in this match. I feel that they were just... their hands. I feel they were just
and that's a awful. Shoot, brother.
I feel they were just really. I just feel it was really bad. I just feel they were really bad fans. I don't feel that they were interested at all. I think Kennedy Brink tried really hard, and I feel she's got a big, strong future ahead of her. Amber O'Neill wasn't terrible, but it just didn't. It didn't mix for me. It just after. I think as well, we've seen so many great Women of Honor matches in the past several shows we've watched and we've reviewed. And this one kind of, you want the momentum to keep going, but it just sadly didn't keep the momentum going. It just kind of hit a brick wall. And I just sadly didn't, I couldn't enjoy it. It was a shame. But first time I've ever been negative on the show. And it's no disrespect to either wrestler. It's just one of those matches. So yeah, I shall ask you all of your opinion on this.
Yeah, and everyone said I was too positive. Stephen had taken on that role and that mantle until today. But yeah, you know, let's not sugarcoat it, Stephen. Tell us how you really feel. So much like the Mark and Jay Briscoe match from 2 weeks ago, I'm going to try and be positive about this match if I can. So first of all, we always talk about viewing figures. So 60,000 views, which again is amazing, shows, you know, women's wrestling is very welcoming, Ring of Honor. You know, love Ian Riccoboni on commentary. You know, Kennedy, has a huge upside. You know, if that's like a couple of years into the business or something, then, you know, she's like very reminiscent of maybe an early Simply Luscious, you know, kind of, you know, wrestler, stature and frame and everything kind of brought it back to that for me. And I think she's got a huge upside at that point. So, yeah, love the attitude pre-match when she was like, you know, giving the crowd, you know, abuse and grief and stuff. It was really good. And, yeah, just love the ending of the match. Absolutely adore the Anaconda voice. And we haven't seen it in years in any way, shape or form. It's just a brilliant submission move, which CM Punk brought to WWE, didn't he? So, yeah, I put love that move. So I think I agree with you, Stephen. It's on the weaker end of the spectrum when it comes to Women of Honor matches, but that's because they've been so damn good. I think this was... You know, if you're looking for characters in this match, I think you got the characters across. Amber O'Neill was doing like the Bullet Club symbols and stuff, and, you know, was doing that to all the fans. So that was good. And Kennedy Brink got across her attitude and, you know, her, you know, the bad girl kind of thing. But I think, I really think that at that time, and hopefully she's progressed since, haven't heard of her apart from this match. So I hope she has. And, be really interesting to see where she is now in 2020. And haven't heard too much from Amber O'Neill. So, on the weaker end. But, you know, there was still some good things about this. Probably the reason why it's the opening match, because, you know, we want to build up the card to being the best that it can be. And this one fell a little bit short today. And no disrespect to either lady. It's just, you know, what we enjoy in a wrestling match. And like you mentioned, the crowd and things of that nature. Maybe if this was in the dojo, for example, maybe that might have been a better environment for it. A difficult match, difficult watch, but still some positives about it to go along with the negatives, which we always try and do. So,
absolutely.
And next up, we're going to bring to you our news from our trusty ROH app. And in this instance, it's one piece of news. So it's always a good week when it's one piece of news. It's just about five dream matches, which I'll go through first, and then I'll get Steven's opinion on it. So first up, we have Villain Enterprises' Brody King versus Dan Math as a dream match. Number five, PCO versus, they've kind of lost this name, but they should keep it, Ring of Horror's Vincent. I don't want them to just be called the Righteous. Ring of Horror was good. It's like Ring of Housen for Danhausen. He gets a mention every time. The Party Peacock, Dalton Castle against the Hawaiian Juggernaut. That's pretty good for somebody who's not really slept. Jeff Cobb. And the one that, well, we'll come back to this. Dragon Lee against, Le Fashion's Dragon Lee and the ROH World Television Champion against Villain Enterprises' Flip Gordon. And the number one match is between the Currents, reigning and defending ROH World Champion Roosh, and the franchise of ROH, Jay Lethal. So, yeah, throwing it to you, Stephen. Do you agree with those dream matches? Is there one in particular that jumps out at you, you know, along those lines, really?
Definitely the two what stood out the most to me are Brody King versus Dan Math, and definitely Dragon Lee versus Flip Gordon. I don't know how it couldn't. And I think the Dragon Lee Flip Gordon one is even more sort of shines to me because of the Flip Gordon dressing as Dragon Lee in that battle royal, where he actually took his attire And I think that would be a really cool little, you know.
He's read my mind again, ladies and gents.
But yeah, Brody King and Dan Math would be phenomenal. You know, two big bulls going at it, both athletic, both, you know, top of the game, both have very similar yet contrasting styles. And, you know, I think they'd really put on a match which would surprise a lot of people with just exactly what they could do. And yeah, I mean, they're all great matches, but they're the two where I think, yeah, I really think these need to be booked ASAP as soon as the world goes back to normal.
Yeah.
They need to happen somehow. And yeah, but they're all great matches. I mean, in your case, Oliver, which of them, or which of the matches struck to you the most as you'd like to see?
Do you really need to ask that question after what I've just said? Yeah, for what it is, it's Lafashian against Villeneuve Prizes. It's an ROH World Television title shot at this moment in time, unless one of your favourite wrestlers, Bandido, takes that title. If the show hasn't been cancelled, it's been postponed, which I think they can do. I think when everything is settled down, you can still do past versus present. You can still do the anniversary show as long as it happens this year. So I really hope they do. And for Flip Gordon, who's like we couldn't think of the last time he lost in Ring of Honor. So he's definitely worthy of this title shot. And yeah, he dressed as Dragon Lee, as you mentioned, in the Free Enterprise Battle Royal to become number one contender to the ROH World title as well. So if you're looking for layers to build a match,
yeah,
this is the most, prevalent of the five dream matches and the one that I'm itching to see. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So I'll just let everyone know as well. I'm just going to advertise our subscription service with powerslam.tv. So PowerSlam offer over 7,000 hours of wrestling content, and that's gradually gone up due to COVID-19 because they're adding content all the time for you all to enjoy, from over 180 promotions in over 20 countries. And you can get a month's free subscription to the service on us using the code BROKENFREE.
Have they added to it then? Have you done your research for that?
They have added some more stuff. Yeah,
180 promotions now. It's 140 before, I think.
Yeah, 180 now. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What I looked at. Yeah.
No,
good stuff there.
That's fantastic. So next up, moving from opener to middle of the card, we have the Future of Honor match between Chris LaRusso and everyone's favourite ECW WWE star Colin Delaney. Just my quick thoughts on this. 4,500 views. Again, we always like to look at the views on YouTube. Joe Dombrowski's always great on commentary for the Future of Honor matches. And joining him this week was J-Rock, which I believe was the gentleman in the Future of Honor match when I wasn't around that you put together for the solo show.
Yeah.
So... Chris LaRusso came to my attention as part of the team that Shaheem Ali and LSG, Bloopers. Bloopers. they debuted against, and obviously I did an interview with Chocolate Man, Shaheem Ali, this past weekend, part one, and he mentioned it on this. So the name was brought to my attention then, but I hadn't seen him wrestle. I'm a huge fan of, a heel using cheap tactics. So, behind the ref's back or just something nefarious or a little bit sneaky and snidey. So I really digged LaRusso and his outlook in this match. The suplex into the stunner by Colin Delaney was beautiful. Then you had the slide in German by Delaney, which is now seen in New Japan by the amazing Taiji Ishimori. So good atmosphere, which is unusual for matches held in an arena, Future of Honor wise. We prefer them in dojos. The sunset flip pin was beautiful, and they really wrenched on it. And that was a really cool way to end the match. You know, this there's a reason why this got moved up the card, because it was, you know, the old school heel against, you know, the lovable babyface, and it really worked well. What did you make of this match, Tim? Excuse me.
Off air, you know, you heard my views on this, and I absolutely loved this thing. I thought it was awesome work between both guys. I feel the chemistry was on point. Colin Delaney looked fantastic, you know, completely different to back in the days in WWE. I've seen some of his work in Chikara and the Indies, and, you know, always been impressed, but I feel this is the best I've seen him. And, you know, it was just a great Ring of Honor match, you know. I love the fact as well that the Code of Honor was followed both at the beginning and the end of the match, even though it was a face and a heel. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
I love the fact that J-Rock was on commentary, as you mentioned as well, because it shows that, you know, the system of Future of Honor doesn't just, you're not been and gone. You can stay there. And, you know, it was cool that he was on commentary explaining certain interactions between the guys, which I thought was really cool.
Just mention the Code of Honor. Chris LaRusso was kind of hesitant in the beginning,
yeah,
and was a little bit more respectful after the match as well. Yeah,
yes,
I picked up on that. It was good.
The lariat what Chris LaRusso gave to Colin Delaney as well. He turned him inside out. I thought it looked awesome and vicious.
Took him out of his boots. And
exactly, and that there was a moment at the beginning of the match where Chris LaRusso, he kind of threw Colin into the top rope, and he rubbed his head. He didn't rub his head against the top rope, but he kind of knocked his head into it, like his forehead, and then he got him underneath the rope and did the hangman up onto it. So I thought that was a really cool-looking spot as well. There's like some really clever-looking spots, and I just felt it was really... The crowd loved it, you know, they did the spot as well where they, you know, trying to get up after 10, you know, getting up at 10, you know, and everything. So I just thought they really got into it. And I just thought it should be, both these guys need signing instantly. They both could be big stars, and I just want to see them go at it again. And the finish, like you said, was something was beautiful, you know, such a great way to finish it. And I love the fact as well that it was such a traditional wrestling finish, in that it was a, you know, a roll up, and that it came out of nowhere and it looked like a roll up, and that you couldn't get out. And I just loved this thing. I thought it was, and it's one of those matches which I want people to go out of their way and watch and, you know, enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, it was just brilliant.
The ending was like a different variation of Owen Hart and Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10.
Exactly what I was about to say.
Wrenching on the pin, and that was really good. So, moving on to our reason for the ROH review. This week we have a star spotlight, wink, wink, talking about the former ROH, well, one time. That's what I prefer to say. One time, ROH World Tag Team Champion, ROH World Six Men Tag Team Champion, and ROH World Champion. How he did that in, about 6 months, wasn't it? Crazy.
Yeah.
No, 9 months. Okay. Yeah. So he's not human. He is the Villain Enterprises PCO. So this started out with sort of like highlights package and stuff, early years, the winning of the aforementioned ROH World Tag Team titles, and highlights of what it took to come to the first match, which would be the Glory Barner number one contenders match. So the first match is from Glory Barner 2019. It's a number one contenders match from the final battle, ROH World Title number one contender tournament, I believe.
Yeah.
And it is between Villain Enterprise members, PCO and Marty Scurll, the villain. And yeah, just going into the match, the umbrella shot heard around the world because it was lethal, not Jay. We covered this on the ROH Review Episode 2, Villain versus the Monster, who would win for anyone out there. Ian Riccoboni and Colt Cabana on commentary are such a great tag commentary team. And then, obviously, you have Lanny Poffo as well, and he added some great expertise. The top rope power slam through the table was brutal. And then it got a bit hokey for me. Ref goes down. Brody attacks PCO. Well, they're all part of the same group. So they're siding with Marty to try and get him in the title shot, which, yeah. And then the ref goes down again. Todd Sinclair's the ref. Flip attacks PCO, and Marty hits PCO with a top to the face. That's another two. Near falls galore, so I appreciated that. And the PCO assault allows PCO to get the win. Marty gives PCO props. It's what was really interesting. He was 31 and PCO is 51. Yeah. And PCO has been wrestling for 32 years. So Marty wasn't alive. Yeah. The 20-year age gap, and he wasn't alive when you started wrestling. So that's a scary thought. What did you think of this match, Stephen?
I think it was a great match. You know, it did get hokey. There was a lot of shenanigans and, you know, odd bits, like we said, where why Brody King was attacking PCO and then it all ended up with best friends again. It was a bit strange, you know. Didn't lead to anything as of watching the current product before the whole lockdown, but maybe in the future it may have done. Who knows? But yeah, I
don't
think
this want it to lead to something. No, I want Villain Enterprises. They are, like, from not knowing too much about the group to they are a fantastic group put together. They're not just, because it seemed like random people being put together, but it actually is a brilliant group. You got the big guy who's, you know, can fly, Brody King, Flip, who can fly but can do a lot of other things as well. PCO is, you know, a bigger guy, but he can fly and he can, you know, bring the brawling aspect. Marty's a great all-arounder. It actually is a fantastic faction, stable group, whatever you want to call it.
And at the time, you know, that umbrella shot was something else, and even seeing it again, it was something else. Great way to start a match, and you know, the crowd were loving it. You know, that's the thing, is the Villain Enterprises are so over with the Ring of Honor audience. It's unreal. And PCO, like we said once before, you know, people were critical of him winning the championship. But when you look at how over as an actual fan favorite and a wrestler he was, or he is, with these fans and the performances he's putting on, he might not be having the technical classics, but to be able to put on these performances and to risk his body like he's doing at his age is unbelievable. There's no one else doing his stuff at the moment or ever possibly. Mm-hmm. And he mentions that in the interview as well, that he's, you know, reinvented himself and that he came back and got the chance and just taken the bull by the horns and gone with it. And I think it was a great main event at the time. It still is now. Great TV match. Great match overall. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one other thing I would say as well is the commentary of Ian Riccoboni is, when you hear Ian Riccoboni on commentary as well and Colt Cabana, how good a team they actually are and how much they got over this whole match and the imploding of Villain Enterprises, and you know, it really added to it to the viewing audience at home. So it was really well put together TV match, and definitely one which I would recommend people go out and watch from last year.
Absolutely. And then that all led to the nice segue that Stephen said then, the bull and the horns. I think he was talking about Toro Blanco Roosh. And like you said, PCO doing snapshots, interview-wise and stuff. It was really interesting hearing his thoughts on, you know, some of the biggest moments of his career. So this all led to the biggest night, and I throw it back to Stephen for the ring announcing.
So the main event of Final Battle 2019 was between Villain Enterprises, PCO, against the then reigning and defending Ring of Honor world champion, a member and leader of La Fashion, Roosh.
There we go.
That's my Bobby Cruz for this evening. But yeah, this was, I still enjoyed this. It's odd. It's an odd match. It's not your typical Ring of Honor. It's not like last week where we saw Jay Lethal and AJ Styles at Final Battle. It's not a technical classic. It's none of that. But it was a spectacle, and it was a journey for a man who'd wrestled for over, 30 years to get to this point in time to be at a world championships, but a world championship spot, and he got there. And the crowd were loving it, even though it was bizarre. The crowd were loving it. The whole bit with the electrodes and everything is hokey and mad, and the hearse situation was something out of Botchamania, I'm not going to lie. That was strange. I don't know if that was meant to happen or not, but it didn't detract from it. It was fun. And that, I will say, talking about risks, when Bruce threw PCO off that stage onto those guardrails and onto that chair, that it takes guts to do that. Like that, they were... Those barriers in Ring of Honor are not like WWE barriers in that they don't just fall apart and stuff. They're like solid metal. So props to him for doing that. And I mean, I enjoyed it more in a second viewing, I must say, than the first time viewing it. But again, it's one of those interesting matches. How about yourself, Oliver? I mean, you could be of a different opinion to me, but let's see what you have to say.
Steven's the negative Nelly tonight. We've watched this probably, this is the third time, I think, because I think we've covered it on some ROH review because they were doing like flashbacks and stuff. We might be wrong, get in contact with us on our social media and send all hate mail to see at Steej215. Stephen's negative, I'm positive. So, in my opinion, so this was better match than the live watch and repeat on the ROH review. Like, I would say it's because of the tiredness, but I was pretty damn tired watching this the first time. So I don't think it was. See, I had it as a really good hardcore fight until they moved towards the Hearst. And then I had the flip onto the guardrail, which you mentioned. All the respect in the world for doing that to yourself. Outrageous. And yeah, it was fine until they got to the hearse, basically. And then I hated the hokiness that followed Destro charging up PCO with a car battery. I had this like... It kind of turned into like an ECW WWF attitude match where anything would kind of happen, but I don't think somebody got charged with a car battery in ECW WWF, so it even went hokier than that. Loved the spear through the door on a roof.
Why was a door under the ring?
I know.
That was one thing I found
because according to this was Caprice Coleman, wasn't it? Yeah. I think according to Caprice Coleman, they're going to be opening doors in 2020. Which was a nice pun, to be fair to the guy. The spear through the door, PCO salt for the two, and then PCO salt through the table, which he didn't land 100%, which must have hurt like hell for the free count. And much like you, fantastic to have a new ROH world champion. From the very little I saw, so I basically came on board for the ROH review from the start, with Gloria Barner, and the second show was PCO. So I guess from then, I think we had six shows before Final Battle. So I didn't see that much of him. I've obviously heard about him and heard that he came onto the independent scene in a really strong way against Volta in Game Changer Wrestling, I think it was.
Yeah,
Spring Break. Yeah, so I heard about that, and then obviously in Villain Enterprises, and yeah, just somebody completely different. Wrestles like somebody 20 years younger than what he is, for the risks he takes, for the heart and soul he puts into it. So I can't dispute the fact he deserved to be ROH World Champion. I think it was just how long will he be champion, but he's wrestled for 32 years and he's been a world champion, and he's deserved every single second of that. So, just throwing it back to yourself. We didn't see this on either the TV show or after Final Battle. Do you want to talk about the acceptance speech that PCO said and was part of this episode on the Star Spotlight? What did you make of it?
I was going to say, I think this was a really nice little ending. I think it was really cool that they actually, because these two matches we'd actually seen previously on the, we'd reviewed, so it was nice to see something fresh and new on the program, because I was a bit skeptical about watching the PCO episode. I think the first thing I would say was really cool that Villain Enterprises actually came out to be with him. I thought it was a really special touch for one, that they were actually there with him, because they helped him come through Ring of Honor. Thanked the fans, thanked, you know, the fact that he'd been given the opportunity. He was, you know, he'd won the big one finally after all that time of working. And it was really humbling. He's such a, and like when he was being interviewed, I mean, it's kind of a bit, I don't really want to spoil it in a way, because I want people to watch this, because he's such a humble, I can paraphrase it, but he's such a humble man, even though he's under the crazy character. And it was so nice to be able to see him talking so candidly about the opportunity he'd been given in Ring of Honor, mm-hmm. and the prestige of holding the Ring of Honor World Championship and the opportunity he'd been given.
Yeah,
and how in those 12 months from when he started in the company, he'd grown so much and that he'd won so much.
Mm.
And I think for a man who you would think someone like that would be in the tail end of the career, is technically on the upsurge in the career, I think is a really impressive, a bit special story, you know. Yeah. I think
it's a great Cinderella story, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, and I understand people may be critical of, you know, the fact that he isn't a, you know, technical wizard, or he isn't a Ring of Honor, a, you know, technical Ring of Honor wrestler, blah blah blah. But mm-hmm. he is a fantastic wrestler. He works every match. He works hard.
Yeah.
He was getting, or he's helping make such an impression in the company, and we've said before on the show, but you have to look back, and if you listen to these crowds when Villain Enterprises come out and what he's doing, this from a, if I was booking Ring of Honor and I was looking at who I would want to be the face of my company and who's getting the most fan interaction, it has to be the person PCO, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was in a backstage sense, I can understand it, but I understand the other side of it. I don't dispute that, but I think it was such a great speech. It was really humble, to the point. Very thankful, and like I said, a very humble man. In the interviews as well before that on the TV episode, he was very humble and kind to everybody. I think that's the nicest thing, is that he's such a down-to-earth guy. I thought it was really, you know, really great. And
absolutely.
I was about to say, do you have any thoughts on the speech as well, Oliver?
I think you nailed it, to be honest, like you said. I think the best thing to do is to go watch it. It was really lovely, and I think I would have liked to have seen it after the title win on the night.
Yeah.
That would have been a really nice way to end the show. Kind of like when Jeff Hardy won the WWE title at Armageddon 2008. It's in my book, and that's coming up next. So nice segue. For the first time, he had like a really big, long celebration. And I think they could have added this in, although obviously time reasons and stuff. But yeah, lovely speech, how much it meant to him and stuff. And yeah, definitely go and check this out. So yeah, as my segue was beautifully done there, if I do say so myself, to my books. So yeah, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm a three-time pro wrestling author. My first book is A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. I mentioned this because ROH is talked about in the book. I was at Unified in 2006. Got to see the amazing match between Brian Danielson and Nigel McGuinness. I was at the same hotel as ROH Wrestlers in 2007. Got to spend time with Sara Del Rey, the Briscoes, Homicide, Julius Smokes. I interviewed Bobby Cruz just before the tour, and it was really cool to be able to hang out with them and talk to them and stuff. And I was at the ROH double shot in Liverpool on that weekend. So I saw Samoa Joe versus Nigel McGuinness versus Homicide, Jimmy Ray versus Nigel McGuinness in the Fight Without Honor, which was just incredible. And yeah, just another really cool show. Obviously, the Briscoes against Shingo and Naruki Doi. I think you said that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the Briscoes fighting each other in their third match to a draw, which was, amazing. So, check that book out. Always hesitant to talk about my WWE book because it's not Ring of Honor based, but mentions ROH alumni. So if you want to know what Samoa Joe and the phenomenal AJ Styles were up to in 2016 in WWE, especially when it was AJ Styles' debut year, make sure you check out this book, A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. And lastly, the book that I segued into, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. I was at WrestleMania 24. I was at the Orlando Double Shot for Ring of Honor, so Dragon Gate Challenge and Supercard of Honor 3. Saw the amazing match between Nigel McGuinness and Austin Aries for the ROH World title, amongst other things, and including the Briscoes versus Age of the Fall, which has just been added to Honor Club as part of Tyler Black's DVD. So make sure you check that out if you're an Honor Club member. And I took ROH alumni and my modern day favorite wrestler, Paul London, in fantasy booking to the main event of WrestleMania and to becoming the new World Heavyweight Champion in 2009 at WrestleMania 25. So, yeah, hopefully you'll check that out. And all three books are available on paperback and Kindle on Amazon and Kindle Unlimited for free. Or you can get them signed on my Big Cartel, afansperspective.bigcartel.com. And you can get them in store as well at Pro Wrestling Cartel in Birmingham, UK. But because of the coronavirus, it's not currently open. So, if you'd like to support me, that'd be absolutely fantastic if you order my books. And I love nothing more than to sign the books, as Stephen will tell you.
Yeah. That's where I've got my copies as well. Lovely surprise.
Absolutely.
So that leads into our main event for this evening. After much deliberation, myself and Oliver chose for our main event. Our main event
much
comes
deliberation.
Back, goes back to 2006 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's a Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship match from Hell Freezes Over, between Ring of Honor original and forefather Brian Danielson, who's the reigning and defending Ring of Honor champion, against the CZW representative, the knockout artist, Chris Hero. So, what did you make of this one, Oliver?
And he was actually tag team champion at the time as well.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. That was on the thing, on the YouTube link, as you went into the match. Yeah. So, Yeah, once again, looking at this, 9,253 views last I checked, but this has only recently been released as a Throwback Thursday, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I noticed Bryce Remsburg there and had the pleasure of interviewing him in written form. I think back in 2009, so that's pretty cool. But to have for CZW to have their own referee there was quite a cool little thing. I thought that was pretty sweet. And obviously the CZW wrestlers were there as well to make sure nothing untoward happened in an ROH kind of setting. Just a fantastic wrestling match in terms of the highlights, because it is very technical. So it's, excuse me, difficult to pick out things, but Chris Hero goes for the roaring elbow and then thinks differently about it and just pokes Danielson in the eye, which me and you just went, great, you know, that's fantastic. Let's go, Dragon. Let's go, Hero chance, about like the 10-minute mark, because it took 5 minutes for them to stop stalling in the match, which is one of the reasons why we deliberated about where we should put it on this show. Beautiful reverse there, the cattle mutilation to get to the ropes. That's not seen too often. It's usually a tap out, so that was pretty cool. Cravat busters, was that the correct term?
Okay.
The DROH commentators, Lenny Leonard and Dave Prazak, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Were very much team ROH, like, don't tap Danielson, don't, you know, lose the pinfall because you are ROH world champion. So that was pretty cool. Definitely something different. The Hangman's Clutch submission hold is beautiful and should still happen to this day. It's one of the most unique submission holds I've seen, and really played into the fact that Hero was working on Danielson's arm, as he had that and the arm and the neck caught in this Hangman's Clutch. Beautiful, beautiful move. Hero's welcome is basically at the crossroads, isn't it? So we've seen that, but it was probably originated by Chris Hero along with a lot of moves. And yeah, after a 29-minute match, give or take a few minutes stalling, that flew by, to be fair. Hero taps out to the crossface chicken wing, and the ads on the YouTube start about 15 seconds before the crossface chicken wing. So you're like, I think this match is going to end quite soon. And if it doesn't, I'm not going to see the end of it. So yeah, that's what I take out of it. And this is two technical wrestlers, which we love. You know, we debated it off air and stuff, you know, because we weren't sure if the technical wrestling was a little bit slower than we wanted it to be. But I think this is worthy of a main event slot. It's, you know, Cassius Ohno, then known as Chris Hero, and because of, you know, what's happened to him, unfortunately, recently. We'd love to have you back in ROH, we'd like to say at that point. But yeah, absolutely. Throwing it over to yourself, Stephen, what did you make of this match?
Yeah, it's a great, great technical match. Definitely one of the most important matches in Bryan Danielson's Ring of Honor world title reign. The interweaving of this world title match and the CZW feud, which would go on for the, you know, rest of 2006, can't be overlooked as well. Mm. If you noticed if you watch this match, you can notice the odd fan dotted about with the yellow t-shirts on, as they mentioned, Lenny and Dave, who said that they're obviously the CZW fans, which I thought was a nice little touch. And the bit where Chris Hero got in the face of the fan who was giving him a load of jib as well, I thought was fantastic on the outside, where he was just staring at him. I thought it was great right at the beginning of the match.
That was Green Lantern fan, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Very heated crowd. This became very hostile later on in the feud. So this was kind of quite tame, but it did become quite hostile later on, which I thought was good as well, in terms of that you had both the best wrestler of CZW against the best wrestler of Ring of Honor at it, which I thought was great as well. Again, love the. I always love it when I watch Bryan Danielson when he was at his peak, and when, you know, I have till five.
Yeah,
all that jazz. I love that. Love the hero and stuff he can do, the moonsaults he was doing, and the, you know, the technical counters, and just the way he moved around the ring, the fluidity of his moves, and you know, when they went to the outside and the guardrail stuff was great, and lots of variety in this match. And I like as well how ordinarily in a match like this, the guys on the outside would just pounce on the Ring of Honor wrestler or the champion, but they actually left Bryan Danielson alone for the sake of getting this. Probably
for the right reasons there, because there's a whole locker room that, and there's five of them.
So that was kind of a bit of an.
They wouldn't have left him alone if it was in this the 2-300 arena, 2-300 arena in the CZW backyard. if it had this match had taken place there, they'd have been on him, because
absolutely
like we saw, this is probably the reason why we added this match. We saw a clip of Bryan Danielson entering the CZW arena at the time and calling out Chris Hero and stuff, didn't we? That was what kind of got us thinking we should do this match in the first place.
And, I just think it's a great technical match. Goes quickly, lots of variety in it. You know, I love the fact that this do stall, and it's funny where, you know, the crowd are booing and cheering, and, you know, the fan interaction's great. And Danielson as well, in terms of his submission ability and his ability to, he had so many different ways to end the match, you know, whether it be the dragon soup, the tiger suplex, whether it be the crossface chicken wing, the cattle mutilation, you know, he was very versatile in what he did. And this match definitely was very back and forth, but it was great for it. And although it's probably, It's a match you have to, although it goes quickly, you have to invest into the beginning part of it. But it is an important match in Ring of Honor history, and it is a match I would recommend people go to watch to see how, you know, the rest of 2006 panned out. But like you said, it's tainted by the fact that Ring of Honor decide we're going to put a load of adverts on right just before this match finishes, just because we want to advertise other things.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. So, leading into me now and my last, my Ring of Honor expertise. If you want to read any of my Ring of Honor articles or any of my own written journalist work, you can find me at The Wrestling Estate. So, we are available on Twitter at The Wrestling EST. Myself and my colleagues cover all aspects of the industry, whether it be WWE, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, New Japan, or the independent scene. We cover them all. We have a monthly newsletter which we run. You can subscribe to on the website, and we also take part in weekly roundtables where we're given a subject, and then we each submit our answers, and then submit it on the website. And both myself and Oliver took part in the Ring of Honor roundtable last year, which was really well received. So check that out. And if you want to check out my most recent article, great fun. And my most recent article, for those wondering, was an interview with SPW New Zealand wrestling star Will Power. Definitely go and check us out at The Wrestling Estate, so at The Wrestling EST.
Yeah, and we're very proud to be hosted by Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast Network. Just a quick note that we paid to host on SoundCloud, so if you'd like to donate, we'd really appreciate it. You can donate via paypal.me/bbgwpod. For the Twitter, we are available at BBG Wrestling. The website is bbgwrestling.com. We have recently partnered with ROH World and Pro Wrestling Ponderings as well since the 21st episode of the ROH Review. So thank you very much to Chris for press releases and sending out our work. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much to Chris from BBG for also doing the same with the press releases, and to Bob McGee on Pro Wrestling Between the Sheets for sending out press releases on that website. And our social media on Twitter. We are at ROH Review. On Instagram, we are at ROH Review. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/ ROH Review 2019. On YouTube, it's one of those fiddly ones that we have to put in the description.
Scars through fingers.
Yeah. And our email for suggestions, feedback, comments, questions, we welcome it all, is rohreview@outlook.com. So, yeah, just in closing, I want to say a huge thank you to Chocolate Man's Shaheem Ali. His interview and the editing process really perked me up after the really sad week we've had in wrestling. Obviously, our thoughts and condolences go to the friends and family of the late, great Howard Finkel. And, yeah, obviously been a really tough week in wrestling for other reasons as well. So, yeah, listening to Shaheem Ali's interview and then putting it out for everyone, hopefully you had as much fun with it as we did at the time, way back in February. But, yeah, we've got a bit of a backlog because people have said yes to the interview, which we really appreciate. We're so humbled by that. So, yeah, that's available in audio and video as of Saturday and yesterday. The audio for this is going out tonight. The video is going out tomorrow, as Stephen said in the Periscope sneak peek preview video. And, yeah, just 6 months in and really humbled by the listeners, the viewers. The feedback has been amazing. It's just been a great time. And we're really thankful that two guys who wanted to just talk about ROH have now, you know, turned one show into three shows, into an interview series. And yeah, it's crazy. It's amazing, and we really appreciate it. And yeah, just to say what we've got coming up. Like I said, we've reached the 6 month mark, which is crazy from where we were back in November. So we are going to release the final part of my interview with Chocolate Man Shaheem Ali. It's what he calls himself, nickname wise, on this weekend. So Saturday and Sunday in audio and video. We'll be back with ROH Review episode 25 next Monday. And with social distancing, isolation, lockdown, we might be doing something else in between that time. But yeah, apart from that, we really appreciate you listening and tuning in. And, you know, hope you're enjoying ROH and keeping yourself safe and well during this really uncertain time. So,
yeah.
Thank you very much from myself, free time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman.
And pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
And we'll see you soon. Bye for now.
See you later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.